Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air, KLW's weekly magazine of the performing arts. I'm your host, David Latulipe. My guests this week, choreographer Amy Lewis, who has enlisted five additional Bay Area choreographers to participate in six suites, setting the Bach cello suites to dance, but with solo instrumentalists that also include instruments other than the cello. Janet Koika and Ed Holmes talk about an ambitious new public art event titled Island City Waterways, which celebrates the past and present of Alameda through music, dance, theater, storytelling, and the visual arts. A pair of Anns. Conductor Ann Haga and Bay Area composer Ann Calloway will talk about VOCI Women's Vocal Ensemble presentation of Songs of the Bygone, Traces of a Vanishing World, an exploration and song of forgotten ways of life and forms of communication. The ensemble also recorded a birthday greeting for KLW, which will premiere later in the hour. And Ethiopian-born singer, songwriter, instrumentalist Meklit Hadero will share her music and stories from This Was Made Here, a diasporic odyssey, show which will be at the Yerba Buena Center next week. We'll have a live in-studio preview. I hope you can spend this hour or part of it with Open Air and me. Please stay tuned. Rhythmic Cultural Works, in association with Epiphany Productions, has announced details for an ambitious new public art event entitled Island City Waterways, celebrating the past and present of Alameda through music, dance, theater, and the visual arts. Spanning the water's edge between Fruitvale and Park Street bridges, this admission-free event will take audiences on a journey into the city's rich maritime past and the origins of its great diversity. Two of the masterminds behind the project are with me in studio. Ed Holmes has been a performer and teacher in the Bay Area for some 32 years. After his 7 years in the Navy, he attended college on the GI Bill, where he received a BA in theater from Cal State Hayward and an MA in dance from Mills College. Ed has performed with the San Francisco Opera, the Oakland Symphony, and various theater groups for 28 years, toured the nation and abroad as a member of the San Francisco Mime Troupe. He also performed a one-man show about the history of clowns and mimes in local schools through young audiences of the Bay Area. He's taught theater and movement at ACT, Cal State Hayward, Mills College, Vista College, and others, and in numerous workshops for kids, teachers, and community groups, as well as working for computer animators like Sony and DreamWorks. Ed's a true Renaissance man and someone who the San Francisco Chronicle refers to as a local treasure. Such a pleasure to welcome you, Ed, to Open Air.
Thank you.
Janet Koika is the founder of Rhythmix. She's artistic director of Maze Daiko Ensemble, a composer, musician, and working artist here in the San Francisco Bay Area for some 35 years. She began taiko training at the San Francisco Taiko Dojo and has toured Indonesia with Keith Terry's original Body Talk. As a solo artist, she has performed with the Mark Aizu Ensemble in venues from Yoshi's here in San Francisco to Hong Kong at the New Dimensions Festival. And another arts educator with us, Janet has performed dance through the Oakland Park and Recs, has worked as an arts school program coordinator for the Oakland Museum, who created curriculum and docent programming for schools. And with Rhythmix, she's performed for thousands of children through the San Francisco Symphony Adventures in Music, Young Audiences, and Bread and Roses programs. Janet, such a pleasure to welcome you to Open Air as well.
Thank you very much.
Well, this ambitious idea, who came up with the concept?
Ed is pointing at me right now.
As you can see on radio. Yeah.
We opened Rhythmix Cultural Works 8 years ago and have become the Community Arts Center for Alameda. And in addition to gaining a lot of support from the community, we are feeling the need to have a face to the outside world, meaning outside of the island. And I wanted to create a festival that would project that, give Alamedans pride in their own city, and also give them a face to everyone else and share their unique and wonderful history through the arts.
Well, 1902 figures prominently in Alameda history. Why is that?
It does, because in 1902, the Big Dig was completed and Alameda actually became an island. There was a small strip of marshy land that needed to be cleared in order for Alameda to be actually geographically considered an island, and that was done at that time. And it has made an identity for Alameda.
We're taking us back to 1902 and maybe even through today, were there discoveries of the Ohlone that were either ignored or discovered at the time that the Big Dig happened?
Oh, yeah. In researching the script that I had to write for this thing, I'm kind of like a narrator, the old mariner narrator talking about the history of Alameda. And the Ohlones had like a couple of thousand years to hang out in the area, and they had these shell mounds. You've all heard about the shell mounds.
Sure.
Well, they had some giant ones in Alameda. And as they started tearing Alameda apart, cutting down the trees and doing things with the land, they went into these shell mounds and found layers and layers of burial sites. And all the Ohlones were on their right side facing east. And varieties of things were found. But they took these shell mounds and turned them into roadways, basically, back there in the late 1800s. So, the Ohlones were left their mark, and their mark was pretty much erased.
Wow. And so how are you incorporating this into your talk? You said you're acting as the old man mariner.
Yeah.
So tell us what's going to happen for people that show up for this event.
They come down to the by the Fruitvale Bridge. There's a nice arts kind of open area down there, and they will assemble. Roughly, we have three shows a day, and roughly 100 people will be guided from the start at the Fruitvale, and I kind of intro it and talk about how. Imagine 20,000 years ago, this island was covered with dense old-growth forest. And the first inhabitants, I kind of allude to the first inhabitants emerging from the tree line and starting it out. Then there's dancers. The Kim Epifano dancers will be coming out of the tree line. They'll be dancing around. I do some more talking and update people and go through the conquistadors and through the early settlers and ranches and farming and et cetera, et cetera. And we move along the waterfront and continue advancing this. It's a lot about, well, there's two things. It's about Alameda becoming an island from a peninsula, and it's about the waves of immigrants that have come through since, 20,000 years ago. So we kind of give a homage to all the waves of immigrants that have kind of made the flavors of not only the Bay Area but Alameda.
Ed Holmes, where did you do some of your research for this project?
Books.
Yeah, we worked very closely with...
You actually have books?
Books. I've read them.
But we also worked very closely with Eric Koss and Dennis Evanosky, who are local historians in Alameda. They also run the Alameda Sun, which is one of the few actual local newspapers that is independent these days. And that's another place that I was very inspired by how much passion they had about the local history, and that has a lot of effect on the piece. So much wonderful inspiration there. And as Ed said, it's a journey from the Fruitvale Bridge to the Park Street Bridge. It's a 90-minute journey filled with dance, music, visual art. We have Lewis Wagner, who's creating this incredible painting on a repurposed sail that will be installed as part of the part of the pathway. It's a very much of a site-specific piece, so each dance and musical event that take place can only happen in that location. The dancers will come across the Fruitvale Bridge and join dancers that are emerging from the trees into this grassy area, which had just been used by the audience as an art making area with artist Ginny Parsons, who's also showing in the gallery, and she'll be weaving grass spheres with people to represent the weaving that the Ohlone did to create their baskets, their boats, and pretty much all the utilitarian items. And then the audience will be involved right there. When they gather, they'll be involved to play music along with us, to later dance with us, even sing with us. And they travel, we travel together as a group for 90 minutes.
Neat. Janet, talk to us a little bit more about the music that's going to be taking place.
The music is from my ensemble, which is Maze Daiko. We started as mostly a taiko, which is Japanese drumming ensemble, which is my background, and have since incorporated instruments from other parts of the world. We use marimba. We have a wonderful violinist. We use different percussion and grooves that also come from, you know, Africa, the Middle East. And so it's a very eclectic form of world music, and I think you have a piece that you might be playing.
Indeed. We'll go out with that in just a moment. I was wondering if some of this music is tied into the Ohlone culture, or is it more just site-specific that's being created on improvised, or is it reimagined music?
The music, for the most part, was either created for the dance or music that we had already written that worked well with what the theme was going on. The first section will be about the Ohlone. We're playing music with bay tree branches and sticks and rocks and clay whistles and a little birimbau. So it's very natural sounds. The next section, we've created a little folk song for Alameda using the tune of a Portuguese folk song, because there were many Portuguese settlers at the time, and incorporating our own Alameda words that tell a story. And the next section is more about, it's a progressive story. So the next section is the feeling of going to America. Why did you go to America? Why did people immigrate? Why do people come here? And that's the central question to this piece, is where are you from? How did you get here? And we are in the gallery. We have a beautiful kiosk set up in the shape of a boat hull created by one of the artists, where people will be able to record their own stories of how did you get here, and we're compiling them in some way yet to be determined.
Very nice. So the music that we're going to be hearing as we say our goodbyes is Chikara. Is that music that you performed?
It is. It will be part of Island City Waterways. It was originally written when I was performing with San Jose Taiko, but its origins come from the Japanese immigrants who came here and found themselves interned at World War II, and their struggle to maintain their identity as Americans, and their strength to keep the beauty of their lives. So I wrote this a long time ago, and then we saw this as a great connection to the struggles of all immigrants who had came to America to assimilate.
And Janet, you see this first expedition for Alameda as a series that you hope to do for different areas as well, in different parts of the bay, or different parts of the bay area? Or how do you
different parts, different short waterfront shorelines of Alameda, because there are wonderful stories and history attached to all different sections. The Neptune Beach is a fabulous area. The Alameda Point, that was the Navy base and the site of the early Pan Am clipper ships. So there's history all over to be turned into art.
Well, I wish you well for this foray. IslandCityWaterways.org for more information about these free tours on May 21st and 22nd with the great Ed Holmes acting as your host and guide. Ed, thanks for coming in today to talk about it.
Thanks.
And to you, Janet Cuica. We'll hope to have you back again
as
we listen to Chikara of the Janet Cuica's ensemble. Still to come on this Pledge Drive edition of Open Air, we'll hear from A Pair of Anns, conductor Anne Heggie, and Bay Area composer Anne Calloway about Voci Women's Vocal Ensemble. They have a little birthday greeting for us as well. Meklit Hedero, Ethiopian-born singer-songwriter, will be live in studio to share some of her music from her show This Was Made Here, a diasporic odyssey, which will be at the Yerba Buena Center. And now talking with Amy Lewis, who has enlisted 5 additional Bay Area choreographers to participate in 6 suites, setting the Bach cello suites in different ways to dance, but not just on cello, with additional instruments. It's a pleasure to welcome you to Open Air. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Sure, of course. Well, I've always, as a musician myself, I've always just adored the Bach cello suites. And I thought they're dance movements. So it's great to set them to dance, actual dancers.
They are dance movements. But actually, I have done some research on Baroque dancing, and it's really difficult to do actual Baroque dancing to the suites. So even though they are Baroque dances, Baroque dancers didn't dance to Bach.
That I did not know. Okay.
Yes. So because he's so complicated rhythmically and in other ways, all the counterpoint and the different lines that are going on musically, Baroque dancers didn't actually dance to this music.
And so what inspired you to use other than cello for these suites? Did you hear someone else perform the cello suites on other instruments, or is it just like, hey, this might sound interesting on a marimba?
We did. We consulted with a musician, and when we were coming up with the concept of the project on, you know, we kind of wanted to do it right. And then we were like, no, maybe we need to go outside of the box. And so we went back and forth. We weren't really sure what to do, and what I decided was that every choreographer really should do what they want and choose the instrument that they felt they most had an affinity with. And so that's how we ended up with all these different instruments.
Nice. I should have mentioned in my introductory remarks that you've been presenting choreography here in the Bay Area since 2005, BA in theater from UCLA, MFA in dance from Mills College, another Mills College connection here. In 2007, you founded Push Up Something Hidden, which is 6 suites, is one of the results of that project. Tell us about that.
That's right. Yes. So Push Up Something Hidden, founded in 2007. We are a 501c3 organization, and I've been presenting work through the company on and off since 2007.
Tell us a little bit about the collaborative choreographers that you invited.
So we have Sancheri Giles, Suite Number 2, who is very inspired by nature, and she really likes birds. So she does a lot of work around all these observations that she does with birds. And let's see, Suite Number 3, Shinichi Iovacoga, who's been in the Bay Area for quite a while making work and is very experimental. You could probably expect some props from him, and he is the choreographer who's using electronics. So I think they're really going to mess with the music in a way that's going to be very unexpected and exciting. Number 4, Janet Collard. Her background is in musical theater, so she is very theatrical and brings a little bit of humor into her suite.
How so?
She has a fair amount of costume changes that are different and pretty wild,
playful,
and there's some drinking beer. She drinks beer on the stage and eats cake and like makes a big mess. And I think she really wanted to
go outside the box
and get out of this, like, cello suites are so serious and so formal and so, you know, you have to do them in a certain way and listen to them in a certain way. So,
well, back to Bach in general, I always thought it'd be, you know, there's a franchise here for someone to do like a aerobics class to the Brandenburg suites rather than you know, disco music or whatever, or house music. They're just perfectly made for movement.
They are. They really are.
Or Bach in general. It's just this constant movement.
And I think that the movement is just so varied. Like, you could do anything to this music. Like, it's so rich, so complex that it just gives so much, that there's a lot of variety.
These performances will be the 13th and 14th, two programs each evening at 7 and 9 at the Community Center on 544 Cap Street here in San Francisco. Where can we go for more information? I don't see websites nearby.
You can go to www.pushproductions.org/events for information on Six Suites, and it has the ticket link there. We are almost sold out for Friday night. So Saturday there's plenty of tickets, but Friday is almost sold out.
Great. Well, Amy Lewis, we're going to go out with some marimba music of Jim Cass's performing the minuet from Suite Number 1. Here's here a little bit of different take on a cello suite played by marimba. Looking forward to these performances, choreographer Amy Lewis and five other choreographers bringing Bach to interesting perspective in Six Suites at the Community Music School on Cap Street. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Take on Bach that will be presented at the Community Music School, and I mean Lewis about the Bach suites. Joining me in studio now is Ashley Ann Krigbaum to talk a little bit about Open Air and our spring membership campaign. Hey, Ashley Ann, thanks for coming.
Hey, David, thanks for having me.
Of course. Let me play a little bit more Bach while we're talking about the membership drive.
Bach.
But in the meantime, there's a number to call it.
There is a number. So 1-800-525-9917 or head to kalw.org. Click the donate button. Take the moment now, if you appreciate Open Air, to become a member of KALW or renew your membership. As you probably have heard the rumor, we're in our 75th year of programming here on KALW, and we would love you to join in the party, join in the celebration now by calling 1-800-525-9917 or go to kalw.org.
Open Air is something unique here on KLW. There's such a, just today, the parade of people that are coming through Open Air that you get to hear about. We'll still hear from a pair of Anns about, Ann Heggie and composer Ann Calloway about the Voci Women's Vocal Ensemble's performances, plus a live performance, which we often have here on Open Air. Mekhlit Hadera will share
her
incredible music and stories. Ashley, and I wanted to share one thing that came in the mail that just really touched me. Last week, we had Jennifer Klutzel on. She's a cellist with the Cypress Quartet. And I got this letter in the mail from Karen in Berkeley. Karen writes, "Dear Mr. LaTulipe, this is my first letter to KLW. I love today's program with the Cypress Quartet, and the sound quality was very good." And Jennifer had mentioned that the Cypress Quartet's going out of business, so to speak, but they're doing a whole bunch of performances in everything from libraries to homeless shelters to public parks. So she mentioned the St. Anthony's Dining Room. So Karen writes, "About the St. Anthony's Dining Room, I was homeless from 2010 to 13, and in December of 2012, I was at the South County Homeless Project, Hayward, on Beethoven's birthday. There was a radio on in the women's bathroom. People staying there, often deranged, would play stations whose music had offensive lyrics. Somehow, that day, I was able to tune in a Beethoven work, a late one. It meant everything to me. Incidentally, the name of your program reminded me of a verse from Purcell's Dido and Aeneas. In our deep vaulted cell, this charm will prepare too dreadful a practice for this open air. Sincerely, Karen in Berkeley. Just to take the time to write a letter and just something they heard on KLW that inspired them to just make a little extra effort there that touched them. It's really touched my heart.
It's like in an oasis, right? You can find it on air, just that moment that really speaks to you and touches you in a way that only radio can. When it's coming into your ear, it's part of the background noise of your life, or a part, you know, kind of like a friend by your side. That's what I think about when I think of KALW. And if you feel similarly and you want to support KALW right now as we're heading into our 75th year of programming, 1-800-525-9917 is the number to dial. We have lovely folks in our call room who would be so happy to speak to you and also hear from you exactly what you value about KALW. Maybe it's open air. Maybe it's also All Things Considered, other things we have here on the afternoons on Thursdays. And 1-800-525-9917 or KALW.org. You can go to click donate and leave a comment and a donation there.
One call, one click, one phone call at a time to 800-525-9917. Show your appreciation for the arts programming here on KALW by making a pledge during open air or later if you want. The point is not the amount of money that you're becoming involved in, but the fact that you are becoming involved in this community resource. 800-525-9917.
We can't do it without you. I mean, here at KALW, we have a motto, especially this year. This is how we do it. And we do it by having every person who appreciates KALW just chime in, give their part, give what they can to keep this institution going, this resource, and this little oasis on your dial here in the Bay Area. Phone number, again, is 1-800-525-9917 or head to KALW.org. A click there is as good as a call.
Thanks, Ashley Ann.
Thanks, David.
Wonderful birthday greetings recorded by the Voci Women's Vocal Ensemble, which this Sunday and next Saturday will present Songs of the Bygone, Traces of a Vanishing World. The concert features the premiere of Bay Area composer Ann Calloway's On Music and Nature, Three Hopkins Settings, based on three poems by 19th century English poet Gerard Manley Hopkins. Calloway is the inaugural composer of Voci's New Works Project, whose works have been premiered by the Seattle and St. Louis Symphonies and the New York New Music Ensemble, among others. She's a Guggenheim Fellow, has spent time at Yaddo and the McDowell Colony, and she joins me in studio. And Calloway, welcome to Open Air.
Thank you, David.
And number two is Voci's conductor, Ann Heggie. Oakland-born and trained at Mills, a big Mills College connection today, as well as at Wesleyan in Princeton, where she recently completed her Ph.D. She has founded and directed a handful of ensembles here in California, as well as in New Jersey and Mexico City. Prolific in electronica as well, she also performs in her duo New Prosthetics, great title, in the laptop ensemble Sideband and with the Carrie Ahern Dance Company. Welcome, Ann Heggie.
Thank you very much for having me.
Of course. Ann Heggie, first of all, thank you so much for the amazing KLW birthday greetings. Above and beyond the call, as they say. Very kindly.
Of course. We're so happy to be here, and we're so happy this radio station is here to support music and the arts in the Bay Area.
Well, thanks so much. Can you first explain to us your title, Songs of the Bygone?
Yes. So, I love programming, and one of the things I think about is the ways that music, and specifically choral music, can kind of tell us something about ourselves. And I was really thinking about all these songs that I know where they're talking about something that doesn't really exist for those of us living in the Bay Area right now anymore. And even the choir itself I mean, to perform music all together, we get in the same room. It's the same as it's been for the last 500 years. And it's a little anachronistic. It's something that's kind of another era. And so this concert that we're doing is a selection of songs that kind of describe or talk about something that doesn't exist. So, for example, one of the pieces are three settings by Alice Parker, and they're about women of the plains. And they're describing the life of these women who were moving across, actually, Canada. And it's really lives that we don't really live anymore.
And Calloway, could you tell us when you first discovered the poetry of early 20th century poet Gerard Manley Hopkins?
Well, yes, actually, he's more like 19th century, but just to put him in context there, but I think it might have been when I was maybe back in college sometime and heard one of his sonnets and set it to music. And I've just always come back to his poetry. And he's such a creative poet, and he demands a lot of creativity from the reader itself. And he's so musical. So those were some of the things, the attributes of Hopkins that I was drawn to.
Well, the poems you chose are just so beautifully crafted. I mean, they're...
Yes.
They're dense, but in the kindest sense of that word, if you know what I mean.
Yes, they're filled with metaphor, simile, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And just like all the poetic terms that you want to throw at it, they're all in there. And one of the things that I liked about all of his work is that he has like double and triple meanings to his words, or he'll make up words, and you kind of go, ah, yeah, I think I can make that make sense. And so you use your own experience.
Yeah, if I could just share with listeners
sure.
the beginning of one of these, because it's interesting, excuse me, trying to articulate these out loud is a very different experience than reading them. Because reading them, they seem, I don't know, we'll just hear the beginning of this, but this is on Music and Nature, three Hopkins settings. This is from Henry Purcell. This is his ode. And incidentally, I just read something from Purcell from his Dido and Aeneas, from that listener that had written in. So he opens this poem with, "The poet wishes well to the divine genius of Purcell and praises him that whereas other musicians have given utterance to the moods of man's mind, he has beyond that uttered in notes the very make and species of man as created both in him and in all men generally." So it starts like this. "Have fair fallen, O fair, fair have fallen, so dear to me, so arch especial a spirit as heaves in Henry Purcell. An age is now since past, since parted. With the reversal of the outward sentence, low lays him, listed to a heresy here."
What a wonderful reading. I couldn't do that myself, but I feel it.
It's powerful. It's powerful stuff.
Yes. And the the fricatives, the ha and the f probably doesn't come out well on the mic, but it's this windy, blowy thing, and so I decided to use that as a technique, sighing.
Yeah. So how are you getting, what is your musical inspiration? What inspires the music in you then for that?
Well, the fact that Voci will try virtually anything, and maybe we can talk a bit about why they're so special later, but they're willing to go with me on, you know, just sigh, just, you know, make a big sigh, and it'll be like the first part of have. And so it becomes part of this elegy, this like a personal loss that you feel that Hopkins has about losing. It was almost like Purcell was a personal friend of his.
Well, there you go with your own peas and potter.
Yeah.
Alliteration.
They're just all over the place. Of the outward sentence, low lays him listed to a heresy here. You know, and if all those are articulated, you pick up on this sort of a special technique of a, you know, normally an unvoiced, I hate to say it into this mic because it might just kind of whoosh out, but
That's
it's
right.
like, And then that grows into actual tones, and then, you know, I start to set the poetry, but it's sort of always there lurking around.
We have a little bit of an excerpt from that first poem setting. Let's have a listen, then we'll talk more with the pair of Anns we have to talk about the Voci Ensemble. Stand by and listen, enjoy the music of Ann Calloway. Excerpt from Ann Calloway's setting of Henry Purcell, a poem by Gerard Manley Hopkins from 1918. Nicely done and beautifully sung, I should say. both are composed and performed. Yeah. Boy. And the second one, Moonrise, June, 1876. Again, written in 1918. I just need to read part of it again. Just
sure,
so then
go ahead.
And hear how you decided to set it. I awoke in the midsummer not to call night in the white and the walk of the morning. The moon dwindled and thinned to the fringe of a fingernail held to the candle, or pairing of paradisiac. What is that word?
He made that up.
He made that up.
Paradisiacal.
Paradisiacal, thank you. Fruit. Lovely in waning but lusterless, stepped from the stool, drew back from the barrow of dark Manefa the mountain. A cusp still clasped him, a fluke yet fanged him, and tangled him, not quit utterly. This was the prized, the desirable sight, unsought, presented so easily, parted me leaf and leaf, divided me, eyelid and eyelid of slumber. Amazing.
Truly, no wonder you put a date on that. This was June 19th, 1876, when I saw this particular moonrise.
Exactly. Yeah. You have a similar story of seeing a moonrise.
Well, I'm kind of a night owl, so I work in a place where I often see the moon when I come out at night, and it's like, oh, the moon is so beautiful, and it's full again, or, you know, it's a little sliver. So I'm into that fingernail held to the candle. I can just see him holding up his fingernail, you know. Huh. So it's a very hypnotic poem in a way, or at least I've said it like that, because it seems to be like this one image that you want to concentrate on. So I just set it for like unison and octaves and just sort of a recitative kind of hypnotic thing. And then I think the part that you're going to play is like the culmination of the story when there's a surprise to this, that this was the prized, the desirable sight unsought, presented so easily.
Right, right.
And so there it breaks into this lovely four-part sort of lush, plaining harmony. It's like, this is the pleasant. Now we're in choral music land again. And so I think that might be the excerpt that we'll hear next.
Let's hear a little bit more of the music of Ann Calloway and part of her setting of Moonrise, June 19, 1876.
This was the prize, the desire. Thank you.
Calloway's setting of part of Moonrise, June 19, 1876, part of Voci Presents Songs of the Bygone, Traces of a Vanishing World. With me is Anne Heggie, the conductor, director of the ensemble, as well as composer Anne Calloway. Wonderful setting, Anne.
Thank you.
I look forward to seeing other settings, not only Mr. Hopkins, Gerard Manley Hopkins, but your other... Is that what you're generally towards, is setting poetry, or are you also involved with other types of music?
I am involved with other types. Rilke is another one of my favorites, so I've gotten more things...
Tried and true favorite of composers.
Yeah, right, yes. What a deep guy. I write instrumental music, too, and it's sort of whoever is interested next, I sort of go to that genre. But I have written a lot of choral music. And words do appeal to me, but there's something really nice about the abstractness of no words, too. So luckily, music is a big field.
And Heggie, tell us what else is going to be on this program, which again is Sunday, May 15th at the Piedmont Center for the Arts in Piedmont, and next a week from Saturday at the St. Perpetua Catholic Parish in Lafayette.
Great. Yeah, so we will be doing pieces. We're doing a set called Far From Home by Georg Ligeti, and this is a wonderful set of four pieces that is rarely sung. We are also doing a set of pieces by Takács. This is five fragments of Jade that are also a cappella. We are also doing some pieces by Purcell to introduce this idea of this ode to Henry Purcell. And there's also a section that is... So in exploring things that have been lost, one of the ideas is the way that there's a different view of women currently and the irony of pieces that look at that. And so Purcell has a wonderful piece called What Shall We Poor Females Do? That's all about the unsought attention of varying suitors. And then we are also doing a piece called Women Should Be Pedestals that is an ironic setting by Gwyneth Walker, and so a number of other pieces.
Nice. And the whole mission of Voci kind of ties into women composers as well.
Yes. So part of our mission is that we are an treble ensemble of women that perform pieces by women and for women. And our new project, this New Works project that Anne Calloway is our first composer with, is really about creating relationship with local composers. And so I see what we can offer as Voci is supporting composers that are here and creating kind of an ecosystem where we work with a composer for 2 years so that we were really creating music that in the end of the 2 years we have a beautiful score that can be passed on to others that is clear and concise.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, these performances, again, are this Sunday and a week from Saturday. Information at Voci Sings, VOCISings.org. Composer Anne Calloway and conductor Anne Heggie, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Looking forward to the performances. Kemekem, music of Meklit Hadero, Ethiopian-born, Brooklyn-raised, and now for a decade based on the Left Coast here in the East Bay. Meklit has been a TED Talk Fellow and weaves together traditional Ethiopian melodies, a singer-songwriter's strum, and American jazz into songs that groove and soar. In musical style, she's been compared to Joni Mitchell, who lyrically has been a significant influence. We'll talk about that. This Was Made Here runs at the Yerba Buena Center Forum on Thursday, May 19th through the 21st nightly. Very happy to welcome Meklit to our studios.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Kemekem, by the way.
Thank you. Kemekem is it's a traditional Ethiopian love song that we redid for my last album. And yes, it can be loosely translated as I like your afro.
I do.
Thank you.
So tell me about the inspiration for putting this particular show together.
So I was born in Ethiopia, and as you said, I've been in the Bay Area for 12 years and grew up in Brooklyn. I'm a child of many places, and so many places find their way into my music. This particular body of work was inspired by a conversation with the great Dr. Mulatu Astatke, who's considered the godfather of Ethio jazz. So he was a musician who was coming up in New York in the 50s and 60s. He was born and raised in Addis Ababa, but moved to New York. In that time when jazz was evolving and growing so quickly. And then afterwards, he moved back to Ethiopia, where he found his way into this process of merging American jazz and Ethiopian melodies and rhythms, and he created Ethio jazz. So one day, I was talking with him. It was at a show in Addis Ababa, and we were playing a song, and afterwards, he said to me, "Hey, Meklit, you know, how come you play this music like we played it 40 years ago?" And he kind of stopped me cold and said, "I think it's time for you to really think about what your contribution to this music is. You know, where are you on this continuum of American jazz and Ethio jazz and composing and composition, and how and what are you going to contribute to the evolution of this music?" So it took me 4 years to think about it, and Yerba Buena has been a wonderful partner in the creation of this music. And so this music is really an answer to that question that he posed to me by the time the theater was almost closing after that show in Addis Ababa 4 years ago.
Wow. Can we hear a little bit of a little teaser of some of the music that we'll be hearing at the Yerba Buena Center?
Sure. So this music is going to be presented by 9 musicians. There's 3 horns, drums, percussion, 2 backing vocalists, myself. So this is a very distilled version. But this song is called Sweet and Salty, and it takes a traditional Ethiopian rhythm and then layers it on top of what you might consider a singer-songwriter chord progression. And this is called Sweet and Salty.
Meklit Hadero live in our KALW studios. Then more about her project at Yerba Buena Center and about her life in general. Please.
Sweet or salty, baby, shake or a cube or bowl to get the best life. Drink a cup in a dim little room, sit down to watch the band play, seeing if they can make us feel our love more intensely. Then after it's over, will we find hormone? With lemon or honey, we'll wait, roam, drive on in our way to feel the breeze, stay out on your door on just to see the sunrise. Sunrise, yeah. Sweet or salty, baby, forget what I said, it's bold, and we've got to wrap that truth around our heads. I don't want diamonds, cause I know they just carbon arranged in a particular way. Living things are more beautiful. I'm thinking forever has got to include that you might feel restless. And I'm made to hoo, but if we know one thing, then we won't blow our fuse. We can always walk in each other's shoes till the sunrise, the sunrise, sunrise.
Live in our KLW studios, Maclete Hadera, absolutely beautiful, singing and playing. My goodness.
Thank you.
And that's one of your original tunes, yes?
Yes, oh, yes.
Beautiful, beautiful. Can you tell us a little bit about your other influences in terms of composers or singer-songwriters? You mentioned Joni Mitchell as being an important influence.
Yeah, I think that there are so many musicians who've influenced my sound and my development. People like Joni Mitchell, Leonard Cohen on the side of singer-songwriters. In terms of America,
but please keep to the Joni Mitchell sound of your voice. Don't go Leonard
purity?
Cohen on us.
Oh, yeah, but that growl he's got going on is pretty expressive.
It's like the Cookie Monster meets Joni Mitchell. It's beautiful. It really is.
Yeah, there's something about people being so true to themselves through the sound of their voice that he really captures. That it's almost not about beauty; it's about how true are you to yourself in your voice. And he's got that down. And of course, people, as I mentioned, like Dr. Mulatu Astatke and Astera Weka, who's one of my favorite singers from Ethiopia. But then also people like my band, the musicians in my band and my friends, my community, who have been such big inspirations to me. Right now, I'm playing with the wonderful bass player, Sam Bevan, who's been a very big partner in terms of the arrangements, arranging this music. So I feel like inspiration comes from absolutely everywhere.
Well, it's beautifully performed as well. I'm hoping that we'll have time for another musical performance. But tell me a little bit more about what we'll see. You mentioned that you'll have a larger ensemble joining you at Yerba Buena Center. Are there other visuals that will be incorporated into the show?
So we do have some choreography, and so there will be an element of dance. And this music, when I started to take an approach that was even more deeply influenced by Ethiopian music than my previous music has been, it's integrated at another level, I would say now. But that meant that the music evolved into a very groove-oriented place. So it is music that's meant to make you dance, and we do have some choreography, so that will be really fun. And yes, there are 9 musicians up there, so it's a lot of sound. It's a sound that's going to just fill up the forum and move the people. Got to move the people.
Indeed.
That's the whole point.
Well, if we can untangle you from your headphones and your guitar strap, let's hear some more music here on our studios, if you don't mind.
So I'll play an excerpt of a song called Supernova, and this is another song from that body of music, and it's about the fact that all of us, every molecule of our bodies was once in the belly of a burning star.
Where did you come from? Where did you grow those bones? So you'll say beginning the starlight as it falls. Oh, 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 pieces collected from debris left behind. Now gravity's possessing me, electromagnetic mind. Remember when you'd fly without wings, how you loved to feel the falling across the universe on a string and start over, over, cause everything that we are was made in a supernova. Everything that we are was made in a supernova. Oh, everything. Everything we are was made in a supernova. Everything we are was made in a supernova.
Thank you so much for sharing that music.
Well, now imagine that with an arrangement for three horns, Ethiopian grooves, and a bass that's meant to keep your hips swinging.
Wow. Well, people can experience that at the Yerba Buena Center coming up at this world premiere of This Was Made Here, a diasporic odyssey. Meklit Hedero with guests. Some amazing music heading your way if you can make it down to the Yerba Buena Center. And these performances are Thursday, May 19th through May 21st, 8 p.m. nightly. More information at ybca.org. Meklit, thanks so much for sharing your music with you.
Thanks.
With us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And once again, Chemicam. Chemicam? Chemicam. Thanks. It's open air for this Thursday, May 12th, 2016. My thanks to Neil Swinkles for helping produce open air. Do stay with us here on KLW. We've got news from the BBC coming up shortly, and Ashley Ann Cribbom will be back with me in just a moment. A reminder that our shows are archived at kalw.org. If you've got a show suggestion, do send an email to me, David at kalw.org.